time for our mid-week in review. We will talk with our two guests about a number of issues making headlines during this Wednesday, and we'll welcome your questions and views as well, including the results of Alabama's Senate Republican runoff race between Senator Luther Strange and former state Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore. Moore won last night and will move on with the Republican nomination in the race to fill Attorney General Jeff Sessions' Senate seat. And he was not the candidate, though, that was endorsed by President Trump. President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence were in Alabama campaigning for Senator Luther Strange. So we'll talk about what this means and what the possible election of Roy Moore to the U.S. Senate might mean. And again, welcome your questions and views. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Dan Kopanky, a former Republican state senator from La Crosse. He is the owner of the La Crosse Loggers baseball team. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Joy, and congratulations on a wonderful career, and best to you in your retirement.
Thank you so much, and I'm very happy that you could join in one last time on my last week on the air. And also with us, Peg Lautenschlager, former Democratic Attorney General of Wisconsin, former United States Attorney, former state lawmaker. She also served as chairwoman of the Wisconsin Ethics Commission. Good morning, Peg.
Good morning, Joy, and let me reiterate Dan's congratulations. It seems like only yesterday you got you and Rob and everyone were baby journalists. Now we're retiring. I don't know.
I know, really, it is something. Time flies when you're having fun. I guess it's been 31 years at Wisconsin Public Radio. I can hardly believe it.
Congratulations.
Thank you
for your service.
Yeah, and let's talk about the latest news is that the Republican challenger Roy Moore defeated Senator Luther Strange in Alabama's Senate primary last night. According to this headline in Politico, Moore crushes Strange in Alabama Senate primary. So, Dan, what's your take on the outcome?
Well, I'm not surprised the polls got this one right. It seems like all along, and Moore seemed to be the one that was going to win this thing from way back. Though I was a little curious as to why the president, got involved in this primary race with two very qualified candidates. But at the end of the day, Judge Moore prevailed. I don't think the president spent any political capital down in Alabama. I think the people that supported Strange are going to support Moore and are going to support President Trump going forward. So I think it's very pretty seamless change there, but I think it'll be good for the president and people in Washington.
Yep. What do you think, Peg?
Well, I have a little different take than Dan on this. Roy Moore is somebody who, although he's been a judge, has shown total disrespect on many occasions for our Constitution, the rule of law, the institutional processes by which we have all agreed for hundreds of years to govern our country. I don't know Mr. Moore personally, but I've certainly seen a lot of him on television, read about him in the news, that sort of thing. I do know Luther Strange from my time during my involvement in matters involving state attorneys general. And he is very, very conservative, but he is also respectful of the processes that our government control our government. And it seems as though the bitterness and angriness or the anger that comes with what are now considered establishment politicians, I guess, no matter where they sit on the political spectrum, is so great in some parts of the country that people are voting folks whose actions are antithetical to the tenets of our government. And I find that kind of interesting from the standpoint of kind of how do we keep a democracy if we don't all respect the basic rules that come with it.
There seems to be a no love lost between Moore and top Republican leaders who spent millions against him, criticized his politics, and supported Strange. but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his 52-seat majority would need his vote if he wins the special election. Moore, though, said in his acceptance speech, quote, "Don't let anybody in the press think that because he supported my opponent, I do not support him," speaking of President Trump. President Trump tweeted his congratulations to Moore, but Moore also said in that speech that Mitch McConnell has got to go. Dan, is Moore's election going to, cause more... more discord in Congress with the so-called establishment Republicans?
It could, very well. And, there's a lot of Republicans out here, conservatives out here, who are very disappointed with the leadership of Mitch McConnell. The failure, get rid of Obamacare and come up with a new plan in the Senate is really problematic for a lot of us out here. His leadership has been questioned, and I think it will continue to be questioned. And it, as you suggest, it could even be more now that Judge Moore potentially will be in the Senate.
Do you anticipate that as well, Peg, or what do you think's going on here?
I certainly wouldn't turn my back on Judge Moore if I were Mitch McConnell. It's kind of interesting to watch the parallel with this and Nancy Pelosi, but there is a group of kind of anti-government people who have risen up, and whether or not it's conservative Republicans or more liberal Democrats or people in between, there has been this anti-government sentiment, and Moore certainly embodies that. You know, it's interesting to see, because what happened first was that the moderates were pretty much taken out, whether they were taken out of the Republican Party, where they were to the left of the Republican Party as a whole, those on the right in the Democratic Party, whether or not they were, or where most of the Democrats were more to the left. And now, of course, they've got both sides going against each other. But in the meantime, these folks who I really term as anti-government, I don't see them as ideologues, are coming to say, let's just tear the whole thing down. And I guess while I understand discontent with the corporate lobbying structure that exists in state and federal governments, while I understand the discontent that comes with unlimited spending in elections, a lack of control, lack of civility, and the like, I'm not sure that Mr. Moore and his faction offer any positive solutions. I think you're going to see, if they are to obtain power, they're going to end up in the same position that the McConnell Republicans are, where they've made a lot of promises to dismantle things but haven't really thought through how to put things back together.
Paula on Facebook says, this is not good news, the victory of Moore. We don't need people who are inclined to force their interpretation of Christianity on the rest of the nation via regressive policies. While this was only the primary, I don't see the Democrats having much luck in Alabama, especially in this political climate. John on Facebook says, it's Alabama. Trump won there by a landslide. From the progressive perspective, it's unrealistic to expect that anything political will go their way in Alabama. Peg, there had been some speculation that maybe Moore was so controversial and so conservative that maybe the Democratic candidate would have a chance. Do you think so?
Actually, Doug Morris, or Doug Jones, is somebody I also know. He was a U.S. attorney with me during the Clinton administration, and made his mark by retrying Klan members in the Birmingham church bombing, where the little girls were killed, and finally brought to justice those individuals who had escaped culpability for their crime years and years ago. Doug is a good guy, a bright guy, a moderate, very thoughtful, certainly a guy of Alabama, and I think could be a good U.S. senator. The question is going to be, does he rise to the level of being able to get those votes in a state like Alabama? And I think the kind of the the difficulty is going to be one like we saw in the congressional race in Georgia earlier this year, where in order to overcome the odds that Jones faces, he's going to have to raise enough money and run a strong enough campaign that he can get his message out and convince the people of Alabama that he better represents their interests. But in doing so, he becomes the establishment candidate and thereby disenfranchises himself from a lot of the moderate voters who would like to see some change and don't like that infusion of money and establishment values into politics. So, you know, it's going to be kind of a damned if he does and damned if he doesn't election. But I certainly wish him the best. And, you know, I don't know. I'm still thinking pigs fly. So, who knows?
Steve on Facebook says, I found it strange that Trump backed the more conventional candidate anyway. Trump says he will obviously back Judge Moore in the general. Dan, do you have any doubt that Moore is going to be victorious in Alabama?
Well, it would seem to be that he would get elected based on pass and how the people voted in this election. But, you know, Judge Moore is more in the mold of President Trump than Luther Strange was. And again, I think this is going to be a seamless transition from, as far as Trump support, from Strange to Moore. I think they will work together when they can. And, you know, the people of Alabama voted, and they voted their wishes, and we should all respect that and their right to do so. So Judge Moore, again, he made news when he refused to take down the Ten Commandments, and a lot of us out here in the United States are on his side in this matter. So, he is elected in this primary because he is what the people wanted.
We're going to take up a pause. We're going to talk about some other issues in the news, including the latest in the Trump versus the NFL football players feud. And we'll also talk about Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin taking a knee on the House floor yesterday. And we'll welcome your thoughts on that and other issues at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Let's get back to our discussion during this mid-week in review with our two guests, Dan Kopanky, a former Republican state senator from La Crosse, and Peg Lautenschlager, former Democratic Attorney General of Wisconsin. Let's turn our attention to let's turn our attention to U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, who will, by the way, be on the show tomorrow morning at this time. We'll talk to him about some issues before Congress. He took a knee behind his podium at the end of a floor speech denouncing President Trump's recent remarks about athletes who kneel during the national anthem. Pocan says that taking a knee is becoming a broader sign of patriotism and respect for our country. He was the second lawmaker to kneel on the House floor to show solidarity with the athletes. Peg, what do you think of Pocan's decision to do this?
You know, it's interesting to me. I find the whole thing to be so superficial. I mean, you know, we have a president who has disrespected a war hero like John McCain in a way that he has. We have a Department of Defense that has paid NFL $53 million over a period of years in order to create all of these patriotic things. So they aren't volunteer efforts coming from the heart, but rather it's all big business. And, you know, and as Dan would say, a lot of us out here in the U.S., I think, prefer substance over hype. And so what we are seeing right now is everybody is focused on symbolism rather than on substance. And I think that's what the real tragedy is here. I stand during the national anthem. I stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I put my hand over my heart. I'm old school during the national anthem. I don't put my hand over the heart as I was taught in grade school. You don't. But on the other hand, I do so because I believe in this country's institutions and its values. I believe that we have always used our form of government to try to form a more perfect union. And I think Congressman Pocan, in taking the knee, was attempting to say, yes, I too believe I am a patriot, and this is why, because I believe in a better, broader union. But again, I just find the whole thing to be so hypocritical. I kind of view Donald Trump as being, you know, like Harold Hill in The Music Man or something, you know, where he comes in and he's going to tell, you know, persuade all of these people in the heartland to buy his brand of tonic. And I think it's more complex than that. And I think that, we have to recognize that there are many Americans who greatly respect the work of what our military does, our first responders, people in public service, the list goes on. I'm afraid that we have kind of gone far afield from the critical issues facing us today in order to do this which side are you on debate based on these sort of manufactured ways of expressing patriotism.
President Trump famously told the NFL team owners that they should fire the SOBs who take a knee during the national anthem. He addressed the issue again yesterday during a joint news conference with the Prime Minister of Spain.
I think it's a very important thing for the NFL to not allow people to kneel during the playing of our national anthem, to respect our country and to respect our flag.
So, Dan, as the owner of a sports team yourself, what is your reaction to this whole issue?
Well, I don't have any time for anybody who doesn't respect a flag. And kneeling during the national anthem is disrespectful to the flag, to our country, and to what it stands for, freedom. They're protesting the very thing that the flag stands for. Let me just say that we, before every game, we have a military veteran or an active duty military person raise our flag. And then we sing the national anthem where everybody stands. And then we drive this veteran around the field. And it is amazing. It moves me every time this happens. We had a 93-year-old Marine Corps veteran recently this past summer raise our flag, and we allowed him, again, we had the honor of having him there, and the fans just went crazy. He was at Iwo Jima. So we get that completed, then we do our national anthem, we have somebody kneeling, disrespecting what this guy went through. We're not going to tolerate it. We will not tolerate it, and fortunately, I hope it doesn't come, but we haven't seen this a lot in baseball. We've seen it in football. I don't know what's going to happen in basketball, but we haven't seen it in baseball, and I hope that continues. There are other ways to protest. I just want to say, let me just say, I agree with Peg. This is a lot of symbolism. Where is the substance? I agree with that. Let's get out into the trenches. How does kneeling, like Representative Pocan did yesterday, how does that help our homeless veterans? How does that help our high school dropouts? Or how does that help the single mother of several children? How does that doesn't help any of this. And it disrespects the flag, and it divides this country. We are one country. I like what the Bay Packers are doing. I think our great quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, has led this. Let's all stand and let's lock arms. We are together. Let's do it. Let's tackle the issues that we have out here. But let's not disrespect the great American flag.
Aaron Rodgers yesterday says he wants, on Thursday night when the Packers play the Bears, he wants everybody in the stands at Lambeau to lock arms. But Peg, you wanted to get in on what Dan was saying.
Yeah, I guess my concern is this, is when it comes to displays like Dan talked to, I understand the emotion that comes with them and the desire for the public to do whatever, but I'm not sure how the military paying $53 million to fund displays like that. I don't know if Dan gets paid for his or not. I presume he doesn't. But certainly at the upper levels, they get paid. When we take $53 million of taxpayer money to fund displays like that, whether it be in, I guess most of it's going to the Atlanta Falcons, but when we're doing that instead of using that money to help homeless veterans, I'm not sure how I can connect those dots. You know, I'm not sure how we can say we must respect the Constitution and yet we delight over a judge who disrespects the Constitution and has been, and has been taken out of office for it. You know, so I guess I find, again, a certain hypocrisy, and that's the part that bothers me. On the good side, however, I would say I do think that it is certainly starting a dialogue, and I think it's getting people to start looking to find common ground. And if we take off folks who are on the extreme, we are finding that that dialogues are being created and people are making are getting involved in good discussions. But again, I don't know. I guess I just don't see that you can pay off somebody to display patriotism. That just rubs me the wrong way.
Let's get a couple of callers in. Mike in Madison, go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, I support all those that kneel in the face of police brutality. I myself was arrested during the first Persian Gulf War for protesting peacefully. I was sitting down when I was arrested, and once they found my military ID on me, they beat me and threw me in the paddy wagon for 10 hours. Then they took me to the
Mike, I don't want to go into some long story about an arrest, but he thinks that there is the players who are doing this, Dan, are not trying to, you know, disrespect military. They're trying to make a point about police brutality and the unequal treatment of African Americans in the criminal justice system. What's your response to that?
Well, again, our military veterans are the ones that have fought for the freedoms and what that flag represents. And I read something recently about a commander who brought 14 of his people home draped with this American flag on their caskets recently in Afghanistan or Iraq, one of the two wars. It is disrespectful of the flag, and it is disrespectful to our military people who have put their lives on the line each and every day so that we can have the freedoms to do the things that we want to do in this great country. And so, again, what the flag represents and protest, that is not the correct way to do it. There are other ways to do it, and I agree with Peg. Let's, is it just symbolism? And it is, if they're paying $53 million, by the way, to be clear, we're not getting paid anything to drive a veteran around our park and give them their due as far as what they've done and accomplished in the past, not one penny. And what's surprising is when we started our team 15 years ago, there were very few veterans who wore their hats, Army, Marine Corps, Navy, whatever. But since we've done this over the last 5 years, you can't believe how many people now come wearing, they're proud of their military, they're proud of their service, they're proud that they laid their lives on the line for all of us. And again, we must respect that, and the flag is a big part of that.
Let me talk about a related issue. Yesterday, President Trump said that his attention to this anthem protest issue was not distracting him from other issues like aid to hurricane-torn Puerto Rico. Peg, do you think that that it is distracting him from other issues?
I think it absolutely is. I mean, you look at the number of tweets, I guess, that he sends out regarding this NFL thing. He's using it as red meat to rev up the base. He's using it to make certain that faction of the American public that has bought his tonic is going to stay loyal to him. And the way you do that isn't by finding solutions to problems and bringing people together, but to figure out continual ways to instill the divisiveness among people in the country. I think it's also a way in which he can use it to divert attention from those problems which he's finding are more complex for him to solve than he anticipated when he ran for office, whether or not it's the Affordable Care Act and finding a solution to health insurance, whether in health care provision, whether or not it's what's happening in Puerto Rico, whether or not it's the Korean Peninsula. We can all be diverted from that because of vilifying a group of athletes who are protesting in a peaceful way and in a way that doesn't threaten anybody, that doesn't involve even marching on the streets. And, you know, and it's clearly becoming his MO. We've seen that over the last however months he's been president.
We are going to talk about health care and tax reform in our next segment. But, Dan, briefly, do you think the president should be spending the time he has been spending on this NFL protest issue?
He does many of his tweaks before most of us even think about getting up in the morning. He is one of the hardest working presidents we've had in recent history, and he is very well engaged in all of these hurricane issues, whether it be in Houston or Florida. Talk to the people down in Houston and Texas and in Florida and ask them if the president hasn't been helpful. He's been engaged, and he's engaged into Puerto Rico as well. So, again, this is just another opportunity for some people to take shots at him. But he's very hardworking. He's very engaged with the people. You can see that whenever he's out with the people. He's working with them.
Dan Kopanky is a former Republican state senator from La Crosse. He's the owner of the La Crosse Loggers baseball team. And Peg Lautenschlager is a former Democratic Attorney General of Wisconsin. They are our two guests during this edition of the Midweek in Review. We'll get back to some other issues making news this week, as I said, including health care, the failure of the attempt to repeal and replace Obamacare, and now the attention being turned to tax reform and other issues coming up in our next segment. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are conducting a Midweek in Review this hour, talking to two guests from different political perspectives about issues in the news this week. Our guests are Dan Kopanky and Peg Lautenschlager. If you'd like to join in, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Well, we need to move on to some other issues this week. The latest attempt to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act failed. The Republicans did not have enough votes to pass the Graham-Cassidy bill. Dan, are you disappointed?
Yeah, I am. I thought that would be a reasonable solution to the health care issue that we face, at least a start. Wisconsin has been a leader for many, many years under Democrat leadership and Republican leadership in providing access to health care to our citizens here in the state. And so I know that Governor Walker was in Washington some time ago talking to President Trump and others about the Wisconsin model. It worked in Wisconsin. It could work for the rest of the nation. And I thought that was a reasonable start to addressing the health care issue here in the United States.
Do you feel the same way, Peg?
No, I actually celebrated when I heard that they were pulling the bill. For me, I can tell you, number one is I think that the bill was, it was done in a fashion which had very few specifics, had very little debate or hearing on it. It was done in, yet again, another back room. So I had concerns about the process, number one. Number two, what you can figure out about the substance of the bill, I think, leaves You know, obviously leaves tens of millions more people who will be uninsured. And the third thing that really concerns me is the whole block grant states' rights, you know, experiments in democracies. As somebody who's got pre-existing conditions, who has family members with pre-existing conditions, and have, you know, had to purchase on the private market on occasion, leaving these sorts of decisions up to the states is very frightening for someone who lives in Wisconsin, because I fear that that the insurance companies will be given the broadest discretion in order to charge those with pre-existing conditions lots and lots of money. I mean, I remember at one point somebody said the good news is we will allow you insurance. The bad news is it's going to cost you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a month. It was like $8,000 a month, and your deductibles will be like $20,000 a year. The average person can't deal with that, and this bill did nothing to address those kinds of things. So, yes, do I think there needs to be reform? Absolutely. But do I think it ought to be the reform that was suggested in this latest iteration of the ACA repeal? No.
So after Mitch McConnell announced that he pulled the Republican health care bill, he said the next priority is to revamp the American tax code. It's tax reform full speed ahead. Dan, what action do you want to see Republicans take here?
Well, certainly I want to see more and better action than we saw in the health care debate. They botched that twice. And again, there's reasons why people are upset with Mitch McConnell. He is the leader, and he couldn't keep his caucus together, much less get anything through as far as health care is concerned. So I'm concerned about this. I know that there's some that want to tie health care to a tax reform, but I don't see that working as well either. So I think they should keep those two separate. Let's get this tax reform, let's get that done and completed, and then move on to other issues. But to put those two together, I think, would be a mistake.
Peg, what about tax reform? Do you think they're going to get a victory here?
I don't know how they're going to come up to have things balance out as they should without having the ACA repeal. You know, one of the reasons I think they wanted to push the health care reform, I mean, there were many reasons, obviously, but one of the reasons I think was so that they could free up some money in order to do tax reform as they wanted to and give tax breaks to those on the far high end of the income scale. What we're seeing now is that with the ACA still pretty much intact, they don't have those monies freed up, so how they negotiate and navigate the politics of doing tax reforms and giving money to the very rich that they want to do, all in the name of growing the economy, I think it's going to be kind of impossible for them, because they are either going to have to give tax breaks and come up short on the monies that they take in, or they are going to have to not give the tax breaks and go back on their promises to those in the upper income levels.
So as we wrap up here, we have a number of callers who want to weigh in on the health care debate. Where does this go from here? What's next, Dan? I mean, are the Republicans going to be able to repeal and replace Obamacare? And if not, what happens?
They haven't illustrated that they can at this point. Maybe they will come together, but Obamacare is imploding. Peg talked about, you know, this latest Cassidy bill is how bad it was, and with behind the scenes, it's exactly what happened with Obamacare. It was the wrong thing to do at that time, and it's proven wrong, and people are hurting out here because of it. So it's imploding. And we have to, somebody has to take the leadership here and address it and reform that, because it is a drag on the U.S. economy right now, and it's so harmful to so many people. Yeah, so it's got to be done. We have to have leaders step up here.
So the Lindsey Graham said that his bill, the Graham-Cassidy bill, which failed, was the only thing standing between the country and a single payer. Peg, is that what you want to see?
Actually, in my life, I would like to see single payer. I think that the amount of time Americans spend dealing with insurance companies and trying to coordinate benefits and the like is insane. On the other hand, I know that's an equally simplified solution, and we have a large part of the American public that's employed by the insurance industry, and that there are certain rules and regulations that have to be followed. So that is a good idea and a laudable goal, but I also think that it's not a simple goal to achieve. That being said, I would also like to just sort of weigh in on that. In large part, some of the exchanges are failing under Obamacare because of the way in which governors are doing things in the various states. Yeah. So they are essentially setting the exchanges up to fail.
And I have to jump in, Peg. I'm sorry, because we are out of time, and we have to have our final minute for the fall pledge drive. Peg Lautenschlager, Dan Kopanky, I want to thank you very much for talking with us over the years and for being with us today.
Thanks to you, Joy, and give money.
Thank you.
Joy.
Dan Kopanky and Peg Lautenschlager.